And take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. Thank the Lord for the another open door that God has afforded us to come to His house. I trust God will minister to our needs tonight. Romans chapter number 3, if you will, if you can, stand out of respect and reverence for the Word of God. Romans chapter number 3, look with me, if you will, at verse number 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. With the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach on this thought. Some mouths that need to be stopped. Some mouths that need to be stopped. Our precious Heavenly Father, we realize the divine responsibility it is to stand before people and preach the Word of God. For the most part, everyone that's gathered here, though we do not know everyone's intentions, people have come and they really expect the person that stands behind the sacred desk to give them a word from God. And we realize that is an awesome task, an awesome responsibility. I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us, Lord, to preach the Word of God. You know the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know those that are saved and those that are lost. And I ask you for unction, for power. I plead the blood of Jesus over every individual that's gathered under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. The mouth that the Lord Jesus has given us is a wonderful thing. It can be used to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It can be used to testify of His saving grace. An encouraging word can be spoken by our mouths and our tongues. But on the other hand, it can be very destructive. In our text tonight, we find that God has given us some individuals that their mouths are incessantly running. We know these individuals as sinners, those that do not know the Lord. Of course, if you study the book of Romans, God is using the Apostle Paul to write down these scriptures, and he's trying to get these individuals to see the necessity of Christ's righteousness. The reason a lot of people never see their need for the Lord Jesus Christ is because they never can hear a word from God. Their mouths constantly run. They constantly tell you about their professions. They constantly tell you about the things they have done, the good deeds that they have done that pleases God. But I'm going to tell you something, friend, until you meet the Creator of the universe and God stops your mouth, you'll never get saved by the grace of God. The Bible says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Thank God, as a 19-year-old man, God stopped my mouth. Hallelujah. Oh, I could have told you about the professions I made. I could have told you about the good deeds I've done. I could have told you about being faithful to Sunday school. But thank God, hallelujah, one day God stopped my mouth and showed me my need for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've never been the same since. Sinners' mouths need to be stopped. Look over in the book of Psalm, chapter number 2. And we find that sinners have a very bad and destructive problem. The Bible says in Psalm 2 and verse number 1, why do the heathen rage And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Say, notice what they say. Let us break their bands asunder, and let us cast their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. Sinners have a problem with their mouths. And their mouths must be stopped in order for them to ever realize they need the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to find anybody lost today. It really is. It really is. Luke 19:10 says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." As a young boy, I began, I guess what you would call my hunting career. When I began to hunt, and the times that I had got turned around the woods, and even if you mark a tree, you're prone to go around in circles. And when I got lost, amen, and did not realize my surroundings, it did not take a rocket scientist to convince me that I was in dire straits. You don't find many people that are lost today. They can be drunkards that claim to be saved, whoremongers that claim to be saved, and on Baptist church rolls. I'm amused by hearing the story, even though it breaks our hearts. When I think about an individual, an old-time preacher that went to visit this lady, he questioned her about her salvation. She says, "Oh, yes, I know that I'm saved, but I'm a drunkard too." The old-time preacher, in his wit and wisdom, he said, "I bet you it's hard to be both at the same time, is it not?" He said, "Tell me about your profession." She says, "Well, I went to my aunt's funeral, and one of my relatives asked me if I'd like to see my aunt in heaven when I died. I said I would." So we went down to an altar and we prayed for a while. He said, "Well, that's wonderful," the old-time preacher said. "Now tell me about when you got saved." He said, "Well, we prayed there for a while, and after a while I got up and I shook the preacher's hand and I was baptized and joined the church." He said, "That's wonderful. Now tell me about when you got saved." You see, this lady thought she could be saved and not have a Savior. "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins," not in them, from them, amen. You're looking at an old-time preacher, amen, that believes when God saves you, He liberates you by the gospel. The lady said to the old-time preacher, "You know, I may not be saved." He said, "That's what I thought." Now you say, "I wouldn't have dealt with that woman that way." Well, you probably wouldn't. But thank God for a preacher, amen, has some wisdom. And don't make everybody a shoo-in to heaven. When's the last time you ever been to a funeral that anybody went to hell? I'm going to tell you one thing, friend, and I'm not cursing. I don't make the pulpit a place of cursing, but if a person lives like hell, I am not going to preach them into heaven, and it don't matter what you say, amen. It's not going to change their destination one way or another, amen. But you would be amazed, the individuals today that claim to be saved by the grace of God and either me, a church member somewhere, but they will not stop their mouths long enough for God to show them their need. Amen. But sinners' mouths must be stopped. First of all, sinners' mouths must be stopped. In verse number 9, God has proved all under sin. In verse number 9 of Romans chapter 3. Look at it. "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise.
For we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles that they are all under sin. God has proved this. There is no argument before the Lord. In fact, in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. There's no arguing with God, friend. I was passing out some tracts as we was out of town today. And unusual, I got one, amen. But as I read that tract when we got back to the living quarters here, and of course I want to see what people are passing out. And it told about an individual that was on a bunch of drugs and narcotics. And it told about his profession of faith of how he come down to an altar. And he said, I felt like a doubting Thomas. And here's what the tract said. He said, he cried out to the Lord and said, God, if you're really real, if you're really real, if God is real, I got news for you. That's not faith and that's not repentance. We come down to Baptist church, I always say, if I'm not saved, please save me. If you're not convinced of it, you don't need to cry out to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, friend. God has got to stop sinners' mouths. God convinces and convicts and reproves of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. God dealt with my heart, sir. I had no doubt I was a sinner. I didn't say if I'm not saved. I knew I wasn't saved. God help us. God has proved us all under sin. There's no argument for the Lord, friend. God has already laid the judgment down. The evidence is heavy against you. And if you do not stop your mouth about your condition before God, you will die in your sins and burn in a Christless eternity. Because God has proved all under sin. Notice, second of all, because there is none righteous. Most people are too good or think they are too good to get saved. The paradox really is that God saves the bad, those that see themselves bad. And those that see themselves good, they end up in hell. Because God shows us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're all the unclean thing. The Bible says there is none righteous. Have you ever seen yourself as God sees you? The Bible says this, as it is written, verse number 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You'd be amazed. I mean, people in this world today, how good they think they are. Right, sir. I sat down with a man called Rex in Denton, Texas, not far from the Maranatha Baptist Church where I was preaching. Me and Pastor Polk went out. He'd come down a couple of days for the meeting to hear us preach and help minister. Amen. And we went out on visitation. And as we reasoned with Rex from the Scriptures, as he was trusting his goodness and his baptism, and we took the Word of God and cut his philosophy to bits. I'm not talking about yelling, screaming like I'm doing right now. Taking the Word of God and reasoning from the Scriptures. And when we got done, he said, well, I think I'll be all right. I think I'll be all right. Rex never did show up for the meeting. And as far as I know, Rex is still lost. And until Rex sees agrees that he's guilty before God. And there's none righteous. And that includes him. And his mouth is stopped. He'll never get saved. When did God stop your mouth? When did God stop your mouth? If you'd asked me before I got saved, I'd have told you about professions I made at the age of 9 and 10. They told me after I did get saved at the age of 19, Brother Rose, don't be surprised that when you get to heaven, that you find out you was really saved at one of those professions at the age of 9 and 10. Don't you think a person would know when they got saved? You mean God would move into you in the person of the Holy Ghost and you not know it? You can tell I don't show much temperance. I've been aggravated since I got married. I'm packing on the pounds. I'm trying to work on that. But if Pastor Harvey, I'd say I'm on hard times and I need a place to stay. Brother Harvey said, that's good. Why don't you move in with us for a few days and hear me and Sister Rose and the girls here? We move in with them. Don't you think Brother Harvey would know that somebody moved in with him? Amen. Especially as we began to raid his refrigerator. He would know it. As the food bill went up. How could you not know God moving in on the inside of you? To say that you've been saved and not know it is as foolish as me saying, I'm married, but I'm not really sure about it. I know I'm married. Sometimes my wife has to remind me of that, amen. Amen. I need to be reminded to be a good husband. Hallelujah. And I want to be a good husband. But what I'm saying tonight, God convinces the sinner of his need for God and his righteousness. And he has to prove, first of all, that there is none righteous before a holy God. Notice what the Word of God says. They are all, verse 12, gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We live in a generation where men do not fear God. Church members don't fear God. It's no wonder they live the way they do. And men do not fear God. There is no fear of God before them. As a teenager growing up, there used to be very popular to have low-riding trucks with no fear would be on the back windshield. And I believe that's very significant. Yes, since most people have no fear of God. He said, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. When did God show you that you're not righteous? You're not good enough to go to heaven. Amen. I don't care if you don't visit the strip. You don't go to the juke joints. There's none righteous, no, not one. The danger in a church like this, and it's a precarious situation, because there are people in churches such as this that trust their righteousness and the things they do not do and the things they abstain from, and they think it pleases God. I'm going to tell you, friend, I do not do the things I do because I'm thinking I'm going to merit God's favor. It's faith that worketh by love, is what the Bible says. And if what you do is not promoted by the love of Jesus Christ and your love for Christ and to glorify Him, it is vain. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people in good Baptist churches such as this that trust what they do. But their mouth is going to have to be stopped. They're going to have to realize before the Lord, there's none righteous. Amen. The Bible says that we are all guilty before God. The Bible says that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world may become guilty before God. People today make you think that you can get a pardon without a conviction. If the U.S. Marshals or the Tennessee Secret Service shows up and says that we have a warrant for Brother Rose's arrest, I ain't going to bother moving toward them. They may come and arrest me. But as far as I've done nothing wrong. I'm not guilty. But I'm going to tell you something, sir. When a sinner comes guilty before the Lord, you won't have to sing 63 verses of number 63, just as I am, amen. I'm telling you, when a sinner knows they're lost, amen, and guilty before a holy God, hallelujah, hey, that man will run toward a pardon. But we try to give people a pardon that's never been convicted. God help us, friend. When did God stop your mouth? Young lady, when did God show you that you was guilty before a holy God? The Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. John 3:16, what a wonderful verse of Scripture. Thank God for it. But very seldom do you hear the other verses. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God for that. On the cross of Calvary, Brother Stevenson, God proved that He loved man. And God proved that He loved sinners. That's the reason the book of Acts, and check it out to see if I'm wrong. The message in the book of Acts, the dividing lines, was not heaven and hell. It was sin and the Savior. Sin was the issue. And they had denied the Holy One and the just and desired rather the murderer be granted unto them. Amen, friend. You're going to have to see yourself a sinner before you ever get saved. What does God first reprove of? You reckon God has any purpose to His order? He reproves of sin. And people do not want to see, son, that they're a sinner before God. We have an offense to Bible preaching today. You know what? Because if you preach the Bible in power, what it does, God takes the trial of His Word and He digs you up. And He looks you in the face. And most people do not like what they see. But you're going to have to see yourself as God sees you before you ever get saved. For God so loved the world that He gave. Thank God, He gave His best. He bet the best heaven had to offer. He left the ivory palaces. He condescended to man. I was thinking this morning as I was praying, He that was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. And God made spiritual paupers! Rich men, when He come to this world
and saved them by His grace. For God sent not His Son into the world, I believe that's verse 17, to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Brother Rose, if you quit preaching all this judgment preaching, you preach a lot more places. I'm going to tell you something, friend, and you better not forget it. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. And the message for this generation, all I've got for this generation, the message of judgment. I told my wife, and I'm not trying to throw stones. I told my wife as we courted at a Christian college, did our courting there. And a lot of them would say, you know, a Marine who's come to visit Miss Howe, amen. They thought it was an armed service. And I told her one day, I said, search this Bible out. Can you find one evidence of the preaching we're hearing today in the Bible? They preach love apart from God's holiness. When's the last message that you ever heard a chaplain take a text and preach on hell? I'm telling you what, God help us. These amalgamated people, you know, that just amalgamates all these doctrines together. To get along. Hey, friend! It's not going to cut it with God. Most of them don't even believe in hell. Most of them don't even believe that Jesus is God. Now thank God for Brother Tim Martin, hallelujah, out of Brother Sammy Allen's that God sent out, and he's a chaplain somewhere. I believe he's back over in Hawaii. Thank God for some Bible preaching men. They're in the chaplaincy. But a lot of them, amen, they just cater to everybody. They'll give you Holy Eucharist. You're a Jew, and I'm not throwing off the Jew. God bless you, hallelujah. God's blessing and peace be upon you, hallelujah. But I'm telling you, they'll cater to anybody. God help us. Most of these people in these high positions, if they're not 32nd degrees, they don't even get in line. You don't want me to get on that, amen. God help us that. Amen. Oh, God help us! I'm telling you what people think. The fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. I'm going to tell you, if you've never been saved, sir, your father's a devil, and the lust of your father you will do. God's not everybody's father. You say, I'm about ready to get stirred up. In a minute, I'm going to get stirred up. You're going to have to see yourself as God sees you. I was on the streets of Hillsville, Virginia, preaching. A lady. It's amazing how all these people want to instruct you how to preach. Appreciate all the advice. I need some advice. I really do. I'm not above it. Now, I don't call good advice. But listen, friend. She said, y'all need to be preaching more on the love of God. I said, ma'am, these people don't appreciate the love of God. These people be out here on the Lord's Day trading and merchandising on the Lord's Day. They don't know the love of God. You don't appreciate the love of God until you know Him, hallelujah. And to know Him is to love Him. People are going to have to find out they're under wrath. And buddy, I tell you what, then when they hear the gospel, that's good news. Amen. When I found out I was under a load of sin and I heard that Jesus saves, amen, that was good news. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not excluding the major points of the gospel, but we better preach all of it. We're going to have to get that sinner under a load. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. Talk about getting lost out in the woods. You turned around. Everything looks, every tree looks like that tree that you just marked. Amen. Where am I at? How's that person going to get found? Shine the light in. Hallelujah to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Shine the gospel light in. He's the light of the world. Hallelujah. If you shine the gospel light in, that sinner will come to it. Hallelujah. God's drawing him. Convict him. Amen. God will save him. Hallelujah. First, you're going to have to see you're lost. Amen. A person that's a drunk, whoremonger, or a liar. People today are habitual liars. You take, for instance, the invitation. They know they ain't saved, and they know their life's never been changed. I'm saved. I know, and I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You're playing games with God. And God may cut you off in your sins. You keep lying to God, amen. There's none righteous. No, not one. God has proved him guilty. God has laid the gravel down and proved it guilty, guilty, guilty. You say, I ain't coming back. Well, I hope in the night, in the dark of the night as you're in your bunk or wherever you're at, you hear, guilty, you are guilty. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation. The light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Tell you why you won't come to the light. You hate the reproof that it does to you. I tell you why you won't come faithfully to the house of God. Maybe you're not a member. We hope you come every night that you're available. I'm going to tell you why people won't hear old-fashioned gospel preaching and they'll go down to Dr. Smell Fungus down the road because he has a soothing message to give. Yes. And there's no reproof down there. You're never going to get saved under that. You're going to have to see that your deeds are evil. Sinners do what they do. Because they are what they are. That's the reason I give no consolation to a person that lives a lifestyle in sin. I don't give them any hope of eternal life. You say, Brother Rose, don't you believe once saved, always saved? I want to ask you a question. Don't you believe you've got to be first saved? Sure, I believe in the doctrine of eternal salvation. Sure, I believe in the perseverance of the Savior. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You've got to first have a new birth. And listen, just people just smooth it over just because they made a profession at a Baptist church altar. Amen. And it don't matter how they live. And it don't matter how they dress. Amen. I'm telling you what, friend. When God moves in, the devil moves out. Amen. Verse 20. Lest you think I'm just preaching self-righteousness, the deeds of the law cannot justify. I'm all for clean living. I preach it, friend. I don't just preach it here. I preach it where it's popular and where it's unpopular. Amen. To God be the glory. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. The deeds of the law cannot justify. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Don't miss this statement. The law never brings salvation by keeping it. The law brings condemnation. And the reason we're in such a shape today, sir, you know why? We've quit having the preaching of the law in its rightful order, in its rightful order. There's not much law preaching today. We need to hear preaching, thou shalt not covet, amen. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We need to hear that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, yeah, I know what they say. Oh, we have a legalist on our hands. I'm not preaching a work salvation. Legalism, hey, the Methodists are legalists and the Roman Catholics are legalists. Look at me. I'm a Baptist. I believe you're saved by grace through faith. But you're never going to know the grace that saves until you see, amen, you're in need of His divine grace, amen. Keep running that mouth. Keep running that mouth, sinner. Keep telling about all the good things you're doing. Maybe in this church, in the Sunday school class you teach, and the positions you hold. Keep running your mouth. You'll never get saved till God stops it. I'm preaching on some mouths that need to be stopped. Sinners' mouths must be stopped. Got to be stopped. If I'd have kept running my mouth about the professions I'd made before I got saved, I would not be standing here tonight, probably. I'd have still been trusting my own righteousness. I'd still be trusting what I was doing. But thank God, hallelujah, son, God stopped my mouth. One day God stopped my mouth, sir. Hallelujah. Save me by His amazing grace. Glory to His holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah to God. The deeds of the law cannot justify. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And every man needs the righteousness of God. Amen. Notice verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is Jesus Christ. Every man's come short of the glory of God. I don't care how good you think you are, how many merits you stack, you're going to come up short. Amen. It's not by our righteousness, amen. Hallelujah, being justified, verse 4, freely by His grace, hallelujah. How? Through the redemption, glory to God, that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. God help these denominations that have took the blood out of their psalm books. Quit preaching on the blood like the United Methodists. There's no hope in that. That's right. To declare His righteousness. Notice the emphasis is on Him. For the remission of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. I'm trusting Him. I'm not trusting the baptistry. I'm not trusting being a Baptist. I'm not trusting my good works. I'm not trusting my good do. I'm not trusting the things I don't do or the things I do. None of that makes me fit for heaven. It's His righteousness. Yes, sir. And you're going to have to ask yourself a question and a soul-searching question. Are you trusting
yours are His. There is such a thing as self-righteousness. Going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves. Well, there's repentance in Romans. You better get to verse 3, Romans 10:3, before you go down to verses 9 and 10. Yeah, amen, friend. I know, and I'm all for it. I know the scripture that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. But verse 3 says that they have went about to establish their own righteousness, but they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. There has got to be a submission. I know somebody said one time, oh, Brother Rose, you believe in lordship salvation? I said, yes, I do. The Bible teaches, what do you believe? He is Lord. I can't. Listen, friend, there's been areas that I've grown, hallelujah, in His lordship. But amen, God made Him both Lord and Christ. And that was before I ever showed up. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, friend. You're going to have to submit to His authority. The problem is with today is with authority. We're having authority problems. People, for the most part, don't like authority. They don't like to be told what to do and what not to do. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you come before God, you come before the Lord of this universe, you come before the Creator of all the universe, amen. And I'm going to tell you, friend, you're going to have to submit to His lordship. Amen. Amen. The thief on the cross called Him Lord. The blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I'm telling you what, everybody got saved. They recognize Him as Lord. And if you get saved, you'll have to recognize Him as Lord. Amen. He even says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What they teach today, son, you can make a profession of faith, some churches, then you can live for death for the rest of your life. The only problem about it is they don't have a verse of scripture to back that up. Amen. Not one. That's the reason I preach hard to these young people, amen. If you get saved at a young age, and I trust you do, I trust you don't go through some of the things that I went through that scarred my mind. I'm going to tell you what. If you get saved at a young age, I believe you're going to love Jesus more when you get to a teenager. Some people, oh, they got to go out and sow their wild oats, you know, preacher. They just got to go try out this world. There ain't no Bible for that. Amen. There's no Bible. There's no Bible for that. None. I got saved as a 19-year-old young man. I've not been everything I should be or want to be. And I'm not ever, hallelujah, glory to God, and I'm not everything I'm going to be. But I'm not what it used to be. Hallelujah. I testified the other night in a meeting, hallelujah. I said, thank God for the change God makes when He saves you. But I said, I want to thank God for the change God's been making since I've been saved. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't even recognize myself. Glory to God, son. I hope I've grown at least a millimeter in Christ, amen. Oh, God, help us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, if you get saved, you're going to have to submit yourself to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And if you ever get saved, young lady, I told her tonight, I said, you need this preaching. You better listen. It's evident she needs it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not throwing off on them, amen, but I don't think my children are angels. Hey, God help them. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think they're little angels. No, they got depraved natures. They got a heart wicked. Amen. They need to be saved by the grace of God's what they need. Amen. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, verse 25, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say it this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Hallelujah. Saving faith.
the faith that saves. You're going to have to realize some things before you get saved. Amen. I'm not trying to make it hard believism. I'm not trying to make it that way, man. But I'm just saying, a person's going to have to get lost before they get saved. It's a sad mistake to think everybody out here is lost. I've witnessed the drunks. And I knew they's lost, but they didn't know it. In fact, they said, "Preacher, I used to preach a little bit. I'm just as good as you are." But see, the problem is, we're not. If we compare ourselves with ourselves, we're not wise. So you better not compare yourself with me and see if you line up with what you think's my righteousness. You better compare yourself to God. And when you do that, we're all coming up short. Miss the mark! Come short of the target! For all sin and come short of the glory of God. So sinners' mouths need to be stopped. Is God going to be able to stop your mouth tonight? Is your mouth going to get stopped tonight? Are you going to quit talking about all your religion? All your good works, all the things you do? I think of Etheridge, Tennessee. One of the most notable meetings we've been in. Etheridge, I mean, it reminds you of some kind of scary thing, or amen. God, help us. We was there half a month. But I tell you what, you're talking about the devil working overtime, and no wonder. I'm talking about an independent Baptist church, too. The devil did work hard. Because the fellow said he was the pastor. He got saved the second Friday. To God be the glory. His wife got saved the next morning. I stood amazed. I preached on what the Bible has to say about conviction. That's what I preached on that night. And we got to discuss something. I had no idea that Jeremy Nash, I'm talking about a clean young man. I mean clean. I mean lived right. I had no idea. He started asking me some questions about conviction. I said, let's go over here and look at some of these words in the Word of God. What the Bible has to say about convict, reprove, convince, prick. I had no idea as we were studying the Scriptures together that God was thrusting gospel errors in his heart and dealing with him. But I didn't have no liberty that night. But I tell you, the devil was raising Cain. Amen. I had hardly any liberty. My voice was about blown out. Amen. I gave it all I had. So I gave an invitation, nobody responded. I leave it in the hands of a just God. My wife had slipped back after the service. She was in one of the rooms back there. I looked around after I shook people's hands and the pastor was missing. So I slipped, of course I was wringing wet, and headed back to my room where I'd stayed in the back of the church. I noticed the pastor's light was on. Him sitting at the desk. I always of course we were good friends and made good friends since I've been with him in the meeting for that long. I just asked him casually the question, well, Pastor, what do you think? What do you think the Lord's doing? What do you think about what God's doing in the meeting? He said, Brother Rose, the message was for me. I'm talking about a young man that lived right. I'm going to tell you something. If you're trusting your right, you will burn. You will. That's an offense to God. Amen. People that trust their own merits. That's an offense, stealing the glory from God. Amen. So the message was for me. So I'm not telling you what I put in his mouth. He's telling me this. And I'm talking about clean folks too. Live clean. I said, got a folding chair. I said, let me sit down a minute. And I sat down. I said, well, tell me what you think. He said, in a little Southern Baptist church up in Kentucky, I went down with some of my friends that went down to the front, and I went along with them, never been under conviction. And I prayed, and I've trusted that all my... I've got rid of things. I don't have a television. My wife dresses right. I dress right. Listen, we... Hey, we respect the Lord's Day. We do all this. But I'm not saved. And I'm in shock. I'm in shock. I hadn't read a book what to do. They hadn't trained me somewhere what to do in that situation. I said, well, Jeremy, you know what to do. And I watched, and you very seldom see it anymore. And my wife was in the room next door. She can testify and witness as he plunged out of his office chair on the floor on his belly and cried out to God. And he got gloriously saved. I say to God be the glory. It shocked me. Next morning, his wife's cooking breakfast. We're standing around rejoicing. What the good thing God done. I'm talking about an unusual meeting, friend. I'm talking about unusual. Other people were coming to see what God was doing. People was getting shook up in the community. And we're just rejoicing what God's done in Brother Jeremy's heart. Hallelujah. Changed his life. And listen, got him off the broad path where he thought he was trusting his righteousness. His little wife come up behind him. He has his back. I'm just facing Brother Jeremy. She comes out of the kitchen. She taps on his shoulder. I'm not saved. I'm lost. Vroom. I'm talking about conviction, buddy. I'm not talking about just getting people and convincing them some facts. She calls out on God and gets saved. Wait a minute. Sister Rose here. Married to a preacher I'd already preached many places across the country, several states. God allowed us to get married almost 4 years ago, but a few months after we got saved, we got married, hallelujah, God saved her. To God be the glory. You know, she knows my life more than any of y'all. Y'all don't even know me. She lives with me. She knows whether I walk with God, and she knows whether I spend time with Him. And if I do anything, it's for the glory of God. But I'm telling you what, friend. Hey, she thought for sure God. And she told me her profession. Of course, we went through it before we ever got serious. She said, I made a profession at the age of 8. I mean, she didn't dress in any immodest way. She loved to go to church as far as I knew. She went with me everywhere. Never rebelled and bucked against me. But she thought God had let me in on it. I mean, tell you, she said God has told him I'm lost. I went to a church in Virginia, Doran, Virginia. I'll never forget it. I was preaching in one of my family's funeral, a miracle of God that God even opened that door. None of my family will come hardly hear me preach, except my immediate family. And God had opened that door, sir. And so it was Wednesday night. I went to visit with the family. I was supposed to preach the next day. It's Wednesday night. It's church night. I told my family to do. He said, oh, you're supposed to stay over there and minister to the family. I shook their hands. I was going to church. It's Wednesday night. So I went over to the church. I preached that night, I believe, to 7 people. I believe there were 7 people that night in that little church where I used to go as a lad of a boy. 7 people. And God led me to preach the gospel out of that passage of Scripture where He says that we're called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And all I did that night was preach a gospel message. The pastor, his wife, a few other people, my wife. And I mean, I guess people get all tore up. What in the world are you doing? I just leave the chips with God. Amen. God knows who's saved and God knows who's lost. And we need a message more than an outline. In case you're wondering how many points I've got, I'm about through. And she says, God has let him know I'm lost. Why in the world would he be preaching a pastor, a couple of his members, and me, and preaching a gospel message? God dealt with her for months. And then God saved her in an old-fashioned meeting. It was probably around 1 o'clock in the morning. I didn't duck my head and get under the pew. Say, oh no, God save the evangelist. Why? Hallelujah. I cut a rusty and ran a lap for Jesus. Amen. I get excited about hallelujah, ma'am. That was my wife that got saved. Woo! Hallelujah. We ought to get excited about it, amen. That circle won't be unbroken as far as me and her, amen.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen. I know we'll know as we'll be known. I said, I don't know all about what we'll do in heaven, but I said, as much as I love you, I'd like to be you to be my special friend in heaven. I know we won't be husband and wife, but I'd like to be your good friend. I'm about to do a holy dance, hallelujah, and it'll be proper in order. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It might tear up your nerves and do you some good. God save my wife. Hallelujah. A preacher's wife. Embarrass me, friend. I was interceding for her soul that night when she told me that afternoon. She said, I'm lost. I'm lost. God showed me I'm lost. I said, babe, I can't save you. Is there anything I can do to save you? I can't save you, but I'm going to pray for you. And God was dealing with her, and hallelujah, that morning, she got gloriously saved. Hallelujah. You know what happened, son? Her mouth got stopped. She quit telling God about all the good things she was doing. She'd say in her mind, I've got to be saved. Look at all these good things. I'm trying to tell you there ain't none good. There ain't none good. You keep trusting that. Keep running your mouth. Keep running it. You'll never get saved. Thank God for the Liberty night. It's about like swimming through taffy last night. But see, there's liberty tonight. Hallelujah. And when there's liberty, hallelujah, God's working. And I believe the Holy Ghost is brooding over the You say, what if nobody moves? I'm not a Calvinist, man, but I'll go tonight knowing I delivered the message. And I can guarantee you after I worked up this sweat, I'm going to sleep well. I'm going to trust you do move. You better move. There ain't much conviction anymore. There ain't much conviction. There ain't. If you feel any drawing to God at all, you better move. We have so grieved and quenched the Holy Ghost, there's hardly any conviction in our churches anymore. Sinners' mouths must be stopped. Sinners' mouths must be stopped. Well, Pastor, I believe that's all God wants me to preach. Amen. There's a lot more I could say. But I want to be sensitive and not grieve the Holy Spirit because I believe God wants to deal with somebody tonight. Somebody, we could be shocked who's here tonight. Lost. If God chose you, if you find out you're lost, you're going to have to find out that from God. Amen. I believe that, friend. I still believe God acquaints Himself to people by revelation. In other words, when God's man preach, amen, God's going to minister the word to your heart. Amen, friend. We've heard enough people that have heard man's words, but I'm telling you, God's got to make these truths real to your heart. And thank God one day, hallelujah, Brother Harvey, hallelujah. Glory to God, it makes, oh, hallelujah. It just thrills me, son, that God had mercy on me as many times as I heard, maybe not from my heart, but I heard with these ears. 19 years I was in the house of God. Never knew what it was to miss a service. But thank God, hallelujah. One day God gave me a message and it stopped my mouth. Saved. Sinners' mouths must be stopped. When did your mouth get stopped? You ought to remember your conviction. You say, what's that? You don't know nothing about it. You don't remember about your conviction. You ask my wife that's birthed, listen to this, Bethany, that's birthed two precious girls into this world. Not throwing off on the new lace. Thank God for this precious baby. With no aid of medicine, no epidural or nothing. There's pain and labor involved, buddy. I've watched her intense pain and anguish grab a hold of those thick plastic coat racks and psh, I'm talking about labor. I'm going to tell you what. When God the Holy Ghost deals with you, there's some labor involved. There's some spiritual labor involved. But if you'll submit to it, it'll bring a birth. Hallelujah, sir. I'm glad I'm born again. Say, what's wrong with you? I'm saved and haven't got over it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just thrilled about it. Are you saved? Are you born again tonight? Could you be sitting here in this wonderful congregation among these people in the meeting house and be here tonight lost without God? My earnest prayer is that God will stop your mouth and that you'll get saved by His grace and power. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for the liberty, the unusual liberty that, Lord, You have granted us tonight. I want to thank You, Lord, for loosing us and letting us preach. Oh, God, I really don't want to take it for granted that God chooses to anoint us and let us preach the Word of God. Thank God for it. And thank You for Your wonderful Word. It just excites me. The precious Word of God excites me to no end. It's what it took to show me my need. And that's what it's going to take in these day and hours to show people their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that some precious soul tonight, their mouth would get stopped. God would draw them to a place of repentance and they would turn to You in faith, believing. We'll thank You and praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen.